Good day, mate. It's Avanon.
And Edward.
And this is...
Life. We're getting better.
Season 1, Episode 3. Time for some serious talk. Let's roll it in for... the minimum wage.
Minimum wage. Topic that... one of the true topics that has good sides and bad sides. Bad side, I'm not meaning that people don't deserve it. It's just, how does it affect business owners to employees?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at minimum wage and you actually add it up to... Well, every state's different right now, right? Mm-hmm. So they're trying to make it more on a federal level, which I don't even know if that's possible. But even so... moving it to $15 an hour as a living wage, I'm saying it, living wage in the United States, is it truly a living wage, whereas the cost of everything continues to go up except for wages?
Right.
It all depends on the perspective that you come from. From somebody who's only making $15 an hour or less even, you're talking about barely making it. You're talking about... you need a second income to sustain a household. You're talking about needing a second job, sometimes third job, to sustain life, to sustain a mortgage or rent, and then insurance on top of that. Oh, let's get started. And taxes and utilities and...
just the everyday cost of living.
Absolutely. How do you even get to work?
If
you can't walk, it's going to cost you something, but then you need new sneakers.
Yeah, there we go. More money, right? And also, how does this $15 an hour affect the smaller businesses that are barely making it now? Especially in the times that we're in, businesses are just trying to keep afloat. How does this affect them? Does that mom and pop store now have to close down? Because if they pay their 4 employees $15 a month, how does that affect their income? You know, they're already barely making it in today's market. I believe everybody deserves what they should get. But what they can get, does that justify everyone being mandated? Is basically what my position is.
Sure. And as somebody who has run a small business, if I may chime in here, you're going to kill small business. What? What was that? You're going to kill some small businesses right off the bat. I think a lot of employees don't know unless they've done a payroll or have been in payroll as a job, a profession. You look at it and you go, no, all these taxes that come out. They're also coming out of the owner's pocket. So when you look at a paycheck in total, It's painful. It's absolutely painful. The business owner themselves are taking out of their pocket the other taxes, the Medicare, the Social Security. Now, I think these are systems that are great and important to have, but it is coming out of their pocket. Mm-hmm. So guess what? They don't get to take home the money that sometimes you think that they should be taking home or you should be taking home. You're thinking, oh, it's going in the owner's pocket. Oh, I'm not going to be nice about this. Why? It's just another squeeze, because now what happens with that? Prices have to go up on everything, right? Whether it's a product, whether it's a service, because now as the business owner, to be able to feed your family, to feed yourself, your shelter, you have to increase your prices to balance that out. So that's going to go across the board.
There has to be something for the small business owner, a compensation per se from the state level, from the local level, that says, okay, you have 40 employees, you're truly a small business, but we're making this mandate that every one of your employees is getting at a minimum $15 an hour. There has to be some sort of incentive there for these businesses to want to make that step, so that they're also knowing I'm protected. What is that incentive? Is it true tax breaks for a small business instead of the billion-dollar businesses getting all the tax breaks where they basically don't pay taxes? If anything, shouldn't that be reversed? There has to be the carrot before the cart in order to get the small businesses on board with this. So, I mean, I understand it. I've never owned one, but I can see that. That's my two cents.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, you're talking a per hour rate versus a salary rate, which is completely other category. It was a story I heard, I would say 2 or 3 years ago, about a small business owner. She had 49 employees, but once she got to 50, she was in a completely different tax bracket because she was no longer a small business owner. So she was in a conundrum. She's like, I can't grow to be a medium-sized business because then I'm the one who ends up having to pay.
The small businesses are the backbone of this country's economy. You know this. I've heard you say it 1,000 times. You preach to it, per se. What are we doing to the backbone? It's just like the human body. You take out the backbone, guess what? We're not walking. The head might still be thinking. Arms aren't working and the legs aren't working, right? Without assistance. We hear the side of, oh, there's too much government assistance in people's lives. People get free walks, free this, free that. Which is it, folks? Which is it? Do we help the small businesses, which again, are the majority of the businesses in this country?
Yeah, 85 to 95% is what I had heard at one point in time. I guess it really varies.
Or do we want everything to be owned by 3 or 4 top big billionaire companies and everybody working for them with no hope of ever having their American dream come true?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it is, folks.
It's painful to think that. You know, when you go from a one person, a sole proprietor, and you engage your first employer, you hire that first employee, that already changes the dynamic of everything, because now you have to incorporate as an LLC if you weren't before. Guess what that means? More taxes. Mm. If I want to have a telephone, a landline, if there's still some of those around, a landline is double the price. This is about small businesses. Let's get back to the the minimum wage piece. But it's just part of the squish that's happening. You know, another one that is painful is servers. In the recent history of the last year of our country, everybody's going, go out to eat, go out to eat, go out to... Wait, no. Pick up, take out, carry, curbside service, all that good stuff. A lot of those people got fired because the small businesses couldn't sustain those employees, mm-hmm. even on that minimum wage. And when I say minimum, it's sometimes a third of what the minimum wage is in the state that these people are making. There are some states that have even a minimum cap on that, which still isn't the minimum wage, but is still less. We're in a society where, well, that's fine. We're fine with paying our tip. What does that tip pay? That tip pays not only your server that you think it's paying. Some folks might know this. It's paying for the cooks. It's paying for the person who delivered the food to you, your runner. It's paying if you got somebody for your drinks. I don't really know if the hostess ever gets a cut of that.
The bus person. Keep in mind, you're that person that leaves them a nice 20%, 25% tip. That's being divided. This person's making $2.75 an hour, base hourly scale. They're appreciative of the tips. We know this. They're not seeing all that. And especially if you're paying by a credit card. If you put tips on a credit card, well, first thing the business is doing is they're taking the credit card expense to run your card right out of that tip. And then, again, that money's being divided. Keep these things in mind, along with us talking about the minimum wage. I believe everybody should be able, again, to make what they can. I have no problem with that. But there has to be an understanding of how cause and effect.
Sure. Because some of the hardest workers are in that poverty level, what we consider a poverty level. I don't even know what the poverty level, if it's 24,000, 30,000, what it's considered, but what's the reality of it as well? Because every city that you live in, depending where you are, you know, suburban, urban, rural, you're going to have different price points anyway. I mean, it's fascinating to me, you know, when we're in the city and you get a drink, I won't say what kind, adult beverage, you might pay anywhere from $8 to $12. Now, there's some people who are going, what? You pay that? You don't have a choice.
I pay it.
That's just what it is. But then you go to a rural community, for example, where my uncle lives, you can get a beer for $1. And that's just what it is. Right. It's mind-blowing. So, you know, you just bought a case for everybody at the table and the table next to you.
How does small town USA at a mandated $15 an hour compare to New York City at $15 an hour? There's no comparison there. I mean, it's two different worlds, per se, when you're talking about the economics. What would you say the square foot rental apartment in New York City is? Hundreds per square foot.
Oh, yeah.
Close to it, at least. Okay, so let's say downtown Pittsburgh. Maybe half that, maybe three quarters of that. Then you get out into the rural areas of this country. I mean, come on, folks. We can buy a brand new home out there for less than what we can go out and rent an apartment for monthly in New York City.
Absolutely.
So, you know, economics have to be looked into this and factored into this amongst where you live with throughout the nation. It has to play into it. I wish I could wave a magic wand. I truly do. And everybody gets paid fairly. But until we looked at all aspects, we can't just, in my viewpoint, just say, oh, $15 an hour mandated fixes everything. My viewpoint, it doesn't.
Right. And nobody's here saying a doctor should make $15 an hour, or the server should make $15 an hour, or a lawyer should make $15 an hour, or the teacher should make $15. There are definitely discrepancies in what people are making for the jobs that they do.
Right.
You know, again, this is another episode about female discrepancy. I mean, for example, secretaries. Secretaries are doing twice the work sometimes of what their bosses are doing, but their bosses are getting credit for it, and they're the ones who get to have the nice dinners while the secretary's still working.
Right.
Just like Edward said, you're looking at different areas. You can't just blanket it with a $15 for everyone everywhere. It's just not feasible. I can't solve the problem either. So when you go from a New York City to a rural area, what kind of jobs are available?
Again, if we mandate something like this as a federal mandate, which I'm with you, I don't understand if it can be truly a federal mandate. I believe in states' rights and municipalities having their ability to control their own, you know, town. When you mandate something like this, I hope, and it's hard to have hope sometimes in our political system. I mean, I know I'm not the only one that has this doubt, but I would hope that we can't just look at, okay, $15 an hour, everybody has $15 an hour. Okay, what about this, the effect? How's that roll, like we're talking about? How's that roll downstream, upstream, however you want to look at it? What about that dairy farmer? Well, you know what? He's getting ready to put two kids through college, and maybe he needs to start hiking up the prices just a little bit. You know, he's not doing that to hurt anybody, but he's got a life of his own.
Mm-hmm.
Tenth of a cent per gallon that he raises it, there's a cause and effect, correct? Now it's going to be harder for people to put milk on their table. With the economics of this, in my book, have to be studied. And this isn't something that people can sit there and say, oh, it's been studied for decades. No, it hasn't. Everything changes every year to year economically. So it doesn't matter if we started studying this 20 years ago. This is today that it's affecting. It's not 20 years ago that it's affecting. So I would like to put faith that there's people out there a lot smarter than me that are looking at this, but they need to have everything ready to enact at once, not just react once and then knee-jerk and band-aid everything after that, in my point. I hope everybody listening and or watching this, I hope you're making the most you can. I truly do. I truly do. Just don't just jump on the bandwagon. Again, look at the information. See how it might affect you, how it might affect your loved one. Or the barber that you go to every other week. How are these things going to affect the people that are in your daily or monthly lives? How do they affect them? Start researching it.
That's another one of those interesting things in the service industries. Personal services, from masseuse to pedicures, manicures, to the hairdresser. Those are all considered personal services where they like those tips. Some of those places, they're just renting a chair in somebody else's shop. They're not necessarily an employee. And they have to take what they're charged. So you pay $20 for a haircut, wherever you might be. Let's just go with $20. Now, depending on the shop, it might be a 60-40 split, meaning you now walk away with $8 for that haircut, which took 30 minutes, and you might not have another client again for another half hour.
Or at all that day.
Absolutely. And so now this tip comes in by cash, not credit card, and that's what you are living on. Should they have to be, say, well, let them have another job or change professions? No. If you are a talent at what you do, again, back to Edward Wood said, is getting paid something equal for what it is that you are. Now, if you're a talented hairdresser, do you need to move to New York City?
Maybe you think about it.
And now you're getting $130 a haircut? It's fascinating to me, but the thinking about all of those breakdowns that you as the consumer or a employee aren't realizing of all the costs that go into everything to run a business. Again, Think about it, research it.
Research also how certain big companies already get around paying their workers more. You've heard in the news recently that certain bigger companies, national chains, some international, have bumped their employees' hours or salaries already up to the $15 an hour. There's a kicker. I'm paying you a $15 an hour, but now instead of 40 hours a week, you're getting that 20. Oh, and by the way, at 20 hours a week, I don't have to offer you insurance. But I might still give you that 401k. Research it, research it, research it. Please, just look at what's coming down. Don't accept that everything handed to you is for the good of the people. I want good for everybody. I truly do. But there has to be good for everybody in something. Yes, maybe sometimes it's a good for the majority. I get that. But in this case, there's too big of a group that have ways around it as well. So research that, please. I ask you to research that. Sorry to get off topic a little bit about it, but we have to know the truth behind how things ripple down.
Yep. I can't say it any better myself.
She can, folks. Trust me.
I absolutely can. I just, for something of a move of that big and pushing you to a nationwide $15 an hour, if a kid who's 16 years old and can now work without their parents' permission, can make $15 on their first job, let's just say at an ice cream shop. Now, you have somebody who just lost their job, their small business they work for, the big company they work for, the factory they work for shut down, and now they need to put food in their mouths and their children's mouths, comes to that same ice cream shop. Do they get $15 an hour after having a decent salary after working for 30 years
of work experience, of never missing time, of giving the company everything they had? We'll definitely get into more subjects like that coming up. Benefits and how, what's out there. We'll just put it that way for right now. We don't want to get onto that subject too much now.
But now that small business owner who owns that ice cream shop, if it's not a chain, they can't do anything but offer that $15 an hour because they're scraping in a certain way to just pay the employees that they have. If I have a manager, I have to pay him more than $15 an hour to manage those kids and that adult to work.
Right.
So it just tumbles. It just onto itself. And now guess what? $8 ice cream cone you just bought now costs $12.
And your scoop's probably a little bit smaller.
Yeah. And there goes that shop out of business because they'll go, you know what? Let's invite some kids over and we'll have ice cream at our house from that gallon.
In conclusion for me is I wish everybody the ability to go out, find your dream job first off, to have that opportunity again to make all you can. But don't just believe that, research it, my opinion. We're giving our opinions. We want to invoke thought. Thought that I'm trying to invoke out of this would be go out, see how it truly would affect you, but also, as I said earlier, your friends and your surroundings. How would it affect them if there's no set system to help compensate everyone that's affected by this, not just Joe and Jimmy Doe walking in and getting $15 an hour right off the bat? Maybe they deserve more than $15 an hour, as she was stating, right? Or maybe that $15 an hour 17-year-old who's getting his first job and probably is only going to stay there for a couple months, is that fair? Sure, in my book, I don't mind, but what's the cause and effect?
Exactly. Examine the whole picture. Understand. Look at, if you've never ran a small business, maybe you have a friend who has one. If you have this hobby and you've been thinking about doing it, what would it take for you going, okay, wow, I'm great at this, but I needed to hire somebody. How would that change? Just give it a moment's thought.
But please, yes, think about it. Open up the realm of taking everything in. And if you still stay with your decision that, well, everybody deserves it no matter what, we're not saying you're right or wrong. But we don't want anybody going in blind. What we have too much of in this world is people just walking in and following everything. And I'm the lemming going up the cliff because everybody in front of me is in the street line. Sorry. Let's curve off. Let's be our own people.
That's why we all have different ideas, thoughts, and ways. And it's all a test anyway. Socialism, capitalism, it's all a human test.
All of it is. Everything is somebody's idea. And they were able to sell it to enough people to start an uprising to overthrow a country or a town somewhere, and it became the way of the land, right? I mean, let's be honest about it. So think about it. It's kind of humorous to think about that one or two people were sitting around in a back room somewhere, literally at one point said, I like this idea. We start telling everybody about this idea. Who's going to question us if we have enough people? Well, there's a bunch of us here listening to these. Question it. We're begging you to question it. Trust me, if it was easy to overthrow a nation, everybody would be doing it all the time, okay? It takes the will of the people to believe in something enough to overturn anything. Well, it takes the will of the people also enough to hone in, study the messages, and start opening up the debates, opening up the spectrum of, well, what about? It takes the same number of people to start something as to end something as to question something, all of it. Takes the same amount of people.
And as I like to say, question the narrative, whatever that narrative is.
There you have it, folks.
And thank you for joining us on another episode of Life.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode has been brought to you by 1 Minute Calm. Breathe, live and love the moment you're in. Enjoy 1 Minute Calm to experience a deserved moment of peace, serenity, and mindfulness. Smile. You deserve this minute of joy. 1 Minute Calm can be found on all the major social media networks at 1 Minute Calm. Zimoff Entertainment International.